Blog Talk Radio.
Water, a pool, is empty. Rock bread.
Y'all move through. 25 years ago, I woke up on a cold marble floor, and I had passed out after a night, I should say another night, of drugs. But something had shifted And I knew that if I didn't make a dramatic change in my life, that I was going to die. And I called my mother and I said, I need to go back into treatment. And I had already been in treatment 3 or 4 times. All these other times, I left. On day 10, I started to feel great. I'm drug free. I'm not like any of these people. I'm out of here. And I would pack up my little bag, put my little arrogant suit on, and march myself out of treatment. And I was free. I was going to make it to the other side. By day 6 or 7, I'd be on the phone looking for my drugs and end up right back in rehab. So instead of running away this time, I went into the bathroom and I got down on my hands and knees and I started begging, please relieve me of this pain. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change my desire to leave. And in that moment, on that floor, something happened to me. Something that was like magic. It was mind-blowing to me. Because all of a sudden, after a few minutes, I knew I could stay one more day. How could I go from terrified and my mind going a million miles a minute to this place of complete peace? I walked out of there on day 28 knowing that there was something that I had to find out about.
The shadow is dark, it's secretive, it can be dangerous.
Shadow is everything that we don't want other people to see.
Things we hide, things that we lie about, not only to others but to ourselves.
And they are the sort of monsters that come out of the caves in the middle of the night.
It is that dark, intrinsic side of us that each and every one of us tries to hide.
Because we've been told from such an early age that these are not acceptable components of who we are.
To have one aspect of the soul, you have to experience the other aspect of the soul to counterbalance it.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I come to talk to you again. Yeah, they were talking about the shadow.
The only time you don't have a shadow is if you're standing in the darkness.
The shadow shows up in so many ways. Writing bad checks, drinking too much, cheating on our tax returns, dipping into our expense account of the family trust, eating chocolate cake in the middle of the night after 3 days of dieting and depriving ourselves, screaming at our kids or verbally abusing our partners after being the nice guy at work all day, surfing the internet and visiting porn sites while our wife makes us dinner, cheating on our husband while he is hard at work trying to provide all the extra pleasures in life for our family, stealing our coworkers' ideas and claiming them as our own. The shadow is made up of the thoughts, emotions, and impulses that we find too painful, embarrassing, or distasteful to accept. So instead of dealing with them, we repress them. Right now, hundreds of millions of people are living in denial of their individual shadow. And all of us are being affected by the collective shadow in more ways than we can imagine.
The collective shadow manifests as evil, as war, as terrorism, as social injustice, as radical inequities in our economic status. You know, right now we have 50% of the world living on less than $2 a day, 20% of the world living on less than $1 a day. We are totally in denial of the fact that this is also a manifestation of our collective shadow. Why? Because people in social institutions, financial institutions, political institutions, corporate institutions are in total denial of the shadow energy. They don't even understand it. Even what we call evil in the world is a manifestation of our collective shadow, turned pathological, repressed, in rage, in denial. People who express self-righteous morality are usually the ones who have the darkest, deepest shadows, the shadow of the Catholic Church, which pronounces on homosexuality as evil and calls gays sinners, while hiding pedophiles in its own clergy. These are all expressions of the shadow.
The entire trajectory of human history at this point is like the Titanic. It is headed for an iceberg. It is going in a direction that is unsustainable, and it is going in a direction that is unsurvivable, if not for us, then at least for our children or our grandchildren. And from an archetypal perspective, each and every one of us is the captain. And the temptation is, it's too painful. The temptation is to just distract ourselves. The temptation is to pretend it's not happening. Or the temptation is to go into cynicism. Or the temptation is to just go into anger and indulge that and not do anything. And each and every one of us are challenged at this point. Don't be the captain who just goes downstairs and goes to sleep.
Everything that expands has got to contract. What goes up has got to come down. People are going to be confronted with their shadow all of a sudden. They've been living high, living wonderful. Everything's been exorbitantly exuding, and now suddenly there's going to be a contractive phase. And if you haven't met yourself, if you haven't done your self-work, if you haven't been on the inside and done some exploration and cleaned up, you know, cleaned your house and detoxed it, you're going to be in trouble.
The birth of our shadow occurs when we are very young, before our logical thinking mind is developed enough to filter the messages we receive from parents, caregivers, and the world at large. Even if we had the best of parents, we inevitably got shamed for displaying certain qualities and received the message that something about us was not okay, that something was wrong with us, or that we were bad.
You greedy little toot, how are you going to eat all those before dinner?
These messages get ingrained in our subconscious like a computer virus, altering our perception of ourselves and wounding our healthy sense of ego. When we suppress any of these qualities, we are living in denial of all of who we are.
And of course, it's different based upon our environment. If you're raised in a family of blue-collar workers, and you declare that you want to play the piano or you want to become an artist, that artistic quality will be negatively received and you may end up having to suppress that. On the other hand, if you're raised in a family of artists and intellectuals and you declare that you want to start working on construction or you want to be really athletic, that may also be perceived of as negative.
We try with all our might to pretend that we are not that which we hate. In fact, proving this is an all-important task for the wounded ego, a task which the ego believes is vital to its existence. The wounded ego must hide all that we believe is unacceptable about ourselves. To accomplish this task, it constructs a mask to prove to others that we are not as defective, inferior, worthless, and bad as we might fear we are. None of us likes to admit that we have these flaws and insecurities. So to hide them, we create a persona at a very young age. We start to wrap ourselves up in a new package that we believe will bring us the love, attention, and acceptance that we hunger for. We create personas so that we can belong. Most of us have a public life and a secret life. We work hard to feel good about ourselves, and a moment later, we do something to sabotage those good feelings. Masks that we believe will take us where we want to go. And these masks take many forms. Which one do you wear? Our masks become our prison. Beneath the mask that we show the world, our wounded egos are in pain. The parts of us that were deemed bad and wrong by others, and now by ourselves, are literally screaming to get out, to be set free, and to be accepted and loved as a valuable part of who we are. When we deny ourselves a safe outlet to express our dark side, it builds up and becomes a powerful force that is capable of destroying our lives as well as the lives of others. This is what I call the beach ball effect. So everything that we reject, we have to keep beneath our consciousness. We try to bury it, so to speak. You know how much energy it takes to put a beach ball underwater? You take your selfish self, you take your angry self, you take your too good self, your not good enough self. You take all of it, and it's like you have 40 beach balls you're trying to manage. And then what happens when you're holding that beach ball underwater? When you're young, you got lots of energy. So you can manage a lot of beach balls. But then, when you're not in the midst of possibility, when your defenses are down, when you have your attention on some big prize you're going to win, all of a sudden, boom, somebody does something, what happens to the beach ball? Pops up and hits you in the face. What's road rage? Is it anything more than that beach ball coming up? We see it in the media all the time. A filmmaker making deep Christian films all of a sudden gets drunk. Shouts anti-Semitic comments in a drunken rage, right? A radio star makes his living like being a great communicator. All of a sudden, makes a comment, a racial slur. So all of these beach balls that you are trying to manage, are you successful at it? No. It's all, but not anymore.
When you don't deal with the shadow, that part comes out, and it'll creep up. It'll creep up in workplaces. And creep up in relationships.
The more we try to suppress those societally determined undesirable qualities, the more they find interesting and often mischievous ways to express themselves.
And it would be like locking somebody in the basement who wants to get out. So they do things down there to get our attention until we recognize them and let them out.
Because those aspects of ourselves that we don't like exit through a kind of detox process. It's got to come out in order to be released.
One of my beach balls happened in front of a room full of people.
So I'm out of treatment, 5 years. I've been floating around trying to become the most perfect person. How could I have people want to be my friend? How could I be a little more spiritual? I was on the quest and I thought I was doing a really beautiful job. And I went to another workshop. We had to get up in front of the room and say what we were committed to in the world. And I thought I was just being wonderful, and everybody was looking at me like you're all looking at me. And from the back of the room, this woman screams out, "You're a bitch!" And I thought, well, I know that. How does she know? And I was horrified. I was so humiliated. It was the one word that I didn't want to be called. And she said to me, "Tell me something good about being a bitch." And I said, "There's nothing good." She goes, "Well, you're a bitch. There's got to be something good about being a bitch." And all I could think of
was all the ways that that part of me had hurt me. And at the time, I was a retailer. And she said, do you ever get damaged merchandise delivered to your store? And I said, all the time. She said, is there ever a time where they don't want to take back the damaged goods? And I said, yes. And she said, well, do you ever have to get a little forceful or a little bitchy? And I said, oh my God, yes. And I was remodeling a house at the time. She said, when you're a couple of weeks late and $20,000 over budget, does it help to be a little bitchy? Would it help you? And all of a sudden I realized that when I finally said to the contractor, you need to finish my house, he finished my house. And this light went on inside of me that this part of me that I had shamed, that I had hated so much, actually came bearing gifts. She said, either you're going to use it or it's going to use you. And that was a life-changing moment for me.
When we fully understand the human soul, we find that it's a place of ambiguity, of contradiction, of paradox. All experience is a result of contrast, light and shadow, pleasure and pain, up and down, backwards and forwards. In order to have manifestation, you need opposing energies. You need your enemies to be who you are. The human soul is simultaneously divine and diabolical, sacred and profane, sinner and saint. Eastern wisdom traditions, we have a saying, the sinner and saint are merely exchanging notes. So once you understand that, then first thing you realize is to have a shadow is normal. If you had only truth, goodness, harmony on your side and the complete absence of the other, there would be no creative impulse. Let's say you had only the evolutionary creative impulse in the universe, then the universe would rapidly burn itself into the heat death of absolute zero. If on the other hand you had only the impulse of inertia or destruction or entropy, then the universe would rapidly collapse into a big black hole before you could say Deepak Chopra.
We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. This means that every quality that we can see in another exists within us. We possess every human characteristic and emotion, whether active or dormant, whether conscious or unconscious. There is nothing we can see or conceive of that we are not. We are everything, that which we consider good and that which we consider bad. How could we know courage if we have never known fear? How could we know happiness if we never knew sadness? How could we know the light if we didn't know dark? All of life is based on the coexistence of these pairs of opposites. Our shadow is forever hiding from itself. Rather than confront our own darkness, we project these unwanted qualities onto others. When we are projecting our shadow selves, it sounds like this. She's so self-centered. He's so full of himself. These people are idiots. What a loser. Afraid of our own unworthiness and simultaneously afraid of our own greatness, we unconsciously transfer these qualities onto another rather than owning them ourselves. Those we project on own pieces of our unclaimed darkness as well as pieces of our unclaimed light. Until we take back all that we have projected away, what we can't be with won't let us be. One of the most frequently asked questions I get is, how do you know if you're projecting? If it's your stuff or theirs? I think it was best said by revered philosopher and psychologist Ken Wilber. He says that if a person or thing in our environment informs us, if we receive what is happening as information, a point of interest, we probably aren't projecting. On the other hand, if it affects us, we're pointing our fingers, judging, if we're plugged in, chances are that we are a victim of our own projection. Think of someone from your own life who disgusts, annoys, or repulses you, and think of the qualities about them that you most hate. Now imagine this person standing right in front of you, and I want you to put your hand out point your finger at them and say, you're an idiot, or you're a know-it-all, or you're selfish. Now stop where you are. Keep your finger pointing at them, and now notice that one finger is pointing at them, and where are the other three fingers pointing? Back at you. This is the phenomenon of projection. Instead of acknowledging the qualities within us that we dislike, we project them onto someone else. We project them onto our mothers, our kids, our friends, or even better, some famous public figure who we have never even met. If I asked each of you what you love about these people, you would each have a different response. The people that you hate also represent some aspect of yourself that you don't own. Notice what you think and feel as you look at each of these people. Whatever we judge or condemn in another is ultimately a disowned or rejected part of ourselves.
I was watching the events of 9/11 on TV with a friend of mine. And after that, we were driving down the street and turned to my friend and I said, you know, from now on, the Arabs are going to be the new blacks. They're going to get the brunt of a lot of projections that blacks have carried in this culture for a long time. Now, a lot of times, blacks react. We react to those projections, and we project back. And that creates a vicious cycle, and the ego consciousness just responds the way it should, really, because it's designed to respond as a survival mechanism. That's what the ego is all about, to help us survive. But it's mechanical, it's reactive. When an aggressive negative energy is directed at us, the ego immediately wants to defend and react. Of course, when you react to a projection, you become that projection. And I didn't want to become an angry black man. That doesn't mean that I don't get angry. I certainly can and do get angry, but I express it and let it go.
There's an old Sufi story about a philosopher who made an appointment to debate with a Sufi wisdom teacher named Nasruddin. When the philosopher arrived at his appointment, he found Nasruddin away from his home. Infuriated, the philosopher picked up a piece of chalk and wrote stupid oath on Nasruddin's gate. When Nasruddin got home and saw this, he rushed right over to the philosopher's house. I had forgotten that you were to call, and I'm sorry I missed our appointment, he said. But I remembered it the minute I saw that you had written your name on my gate. The great Swiss psychologist Carl Jung, who coined the word shadow and shadow work, said, that is the shadow, the person we'd rather not be. Rush Limbaugh hated drug addicts, and then it was revealed that he was one himself. Reverend Ted Haggard railed against homosexuals and was later caught in a drug and male prostitute scandal. A powerful example of projection at play is that of the ex-governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer. As a public official, Spitzer worked tirelessly to rid the streets of prostitution rings. Ultimately, he wound up getting busted for having a relationship with a call girl, which ruined his reputation and his political future. If we look at this through the eyes of the shadow, I would suggest that sometime long ago, probably as a young man, He had the impulse to sleep with a hooker. Since this wasn't politically or socially acceptable, he buried this impulse deep inside, only to be brought down by this very unconscious urge. It's fascinating to see that he tried to destroy the temptation in the outer world because unconsciously he knew that the real danger lurked in his inner world. This is why we want to deal with the shadow. Rather than trying to convince you that you're not all those negative things and encouraging you to think a good thought, shadow work urges you to get in there and to be with what you are resisting, because what you resist will persist. If you don't deal with your shadow, it will deal with you.
The cost of ignoring a destructive pattern is that you're going to self-destruct. You will implode rather than explode.
You know, my training is as a neurologist, so I've spent, you know, well over three decades studying how the nervous system organizes this information. And it's really quite interesting when you look at the fact that really, even though we think of having one brain, we actually have three different brains. We have this very primitive brain, which some people call the reptilian brain. And if you look at a reptile, look at a crocodile, it really just has two responses, on or off. So if you ever watched a crocodile trying to eat a wildebeest, it seems to be very quiet and suddenly explodes, and then it goes back into its quiet state. So that response is really a very basic survival response. But the mammalian brain, which is sometimes known as the limbic brain, has created a modulating effect on that reptilian brain. So the limbic system has brought into this very primitive on-off response gradations, meaning you can be a little bit on, significantly on, really on. But then on top of that mammalian brain, really just for the last couple hundred thousand years, we've evolved this human brain, which is called the neocortex, neo meaning new cortex, new covering of the brain. And that actually allows us for the first time in evolutionary history to decide whether or not we want to react at all.
If we look at brain scans, we can actually see in a traumatized brain this part of the brain kind of shutting down, becoming dark. The part of the brain that is associated with emotions, that part you might be familiar with, the fight or flight or freeze response. The amygdala, which is the fear processing center in this part of the brain, really becomes bright. So what happens is trauma changes brain functioning, and then that triggers changes in stress hormones in the body, which are not a good thing.
It's crucial to be able to recognize and express any kind of pain. Without that, it stays with us. It lodges in the body, and it causes us to react, to live unconsciously.
The unresolved issues that people have in their bodies, their emotions, has an absolute direct correlation with their physical bodies, their health and their well-being, their expression of wellness overall. They think that their health is somehow separate from their emotions. They are intimately connected.
Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, they're all the result significantly of chronic, unprocessed, inflammatory molecules that have their correlates in the psychological world of chronic, unprocessed emotions and experiences.
Every single one of those conditions is a byproduct of our stress levels. It affects our health intimately. Most people are aware that what they eat and what they drink affect their toxicity levels. What they don't realize is that what they think and the emotions that they've built up over years are really the most toxic.
The ways that people have dealt with this traditionally and historically are inadequate. My patients are in overwhelm. This is not New Age mumbo-jumbo. This is actually hard science. The science here now is indisputable, that thoughts, that emotions affect the organs of the body.
We have to be mindful with every single thought that we have every single day. How do we want to create our heaven or our hell? How do we treat one another? Because we are the source of everything within us.
There is a poem by Rumi called The Guest House, which in many ways describes the human journey.
This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Repressing our anger may seem like a good solution, but pretty soon we run out of places to hide. Divorce, stress at work, financial trouble or tension within our families provoke the shadow until finally it erupts. The ancient Vedic text known as the Bhagavad Gita states that man should discover his own reality, not thwart himself. For he has himself as his only friend or as his only enemy. But if he rejects his own reality, the self will war against him. It's easy to love yourself when you wake up feeling strong and worthy and you have enough money in the bank and you feel great. But how do you love yourself when you feel broke or when you've been hurt or abused?
And that sets up the conflict, which as we get older, those wonderful forces that we've locked up in our shadow are rattling the cages. And sometimes if we're distracted, they sneak out and we think, and the people around us think, what were we thinking? And the answer is, we weren't thinking.
When repressed, the shadow can look like this. We have to resolve the undigested emotions that are buried in our bodies and lodged as stress in our minds. We have to unearth, own, and embrace the very parts of ourselves that have caused us the most pain. And the moment we do, the light of our awareness will begin the process of transforming them. We think we're alone. We think we're different. We feel isolated or abandoned. And then when we come together, we find out that we all go through traumas, that to be human is to be challenged, and that everyone has gone through some trauma. And if we're courageous, we see that there is gold to be mined in every experience.
It's very interesting because I don't remember a single day where my mother was not drunk, you know, and I had to live through this. I didn't understand it. Very, very confused by it all. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Who are you? Because as she would drink and as she became into that space, I knew I didn't know her. And I just wished she was dead. I said, I wish you were dead. Wish you were dead. I want the pain out of my life, out of my life. Because you don't belong here. Whoever you are, this intoxicated person, and as a child looking at this, because my father wasn't there either, I had to figure this out. All I did was wish she was dead, right? Well, not until 30, 40 years later, after she had passed over, she was many, many years after that,
And after getting involved in this work, I realized that that was indeed one of the most incredible blessings of my life. I learned from that situation about compassion. And I learned about forgiveness. And that's a pretty big one to have to learn about forgiveness. You know, we see these things as horrific experiences, terrible experiences, dark experiences, when in truth, they're really enlightened experiences because they help us to be who we are. They help us to be compassionate. They help us to be forgiving. They help us to look at someone very, very differently.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
At a certain point in life, it's about saying, I have been through what I've been through. I've succeeded in some ways, perhaps, but I've also failed in some ways. I've been strong at times, but I've also been weak at times. I've gotten some things right, and other things I've gotten wrong. And some things have gone well for me, and some things have been damn and awful. The issue is, what am I going to do with all of that? You know, two people can go through the exact same situation on an external level, but internally they do two completely different things with it. That's why we read incredible stories about people who went through the Holocaust or people who were victims of genocide and yet they survived, and yet they go on to live extraordinary lives. And then you meet other people who went through a fraction of that in terms of an internal trauma, but they stay stuck in it forever. We begin to ask ourselves, what am I getting from staying stuck there? What am I avoiding from staying stuck there? And what we are avoiding is the greatest challenge of all, and that is to be who we can be in order to serve the world.
I asked a few people to share their own shadow stories. Some of them are complete, others are ongoing. All of them are portraits of a fearless commitment to transformation. Sui is like that beautiful combination of a miracle, that part of her that she deems so worthless and unlovable actually comes bearing the greatest gifts and makes her the shining light that she is today.
The pain that I've been carrying throughout my life was the pain of believing that I was abandoned by my parents because I wasn't pure enough. I'm actually mixed in terms of, you know, half Japanese, half Chinese. I was considered makes an impure enough to be raised in Japan. You know, my parents live in Japan and they left me with my grandparents in Malaysia. I just felt so abandoned and rejected. My father ended up getting a divorce from my mother. He remarried another Japanese woman, but nobody ever told me that when my father came back with his wife that she's not my mother. I felt the immediate rejection, that they didn't want me in their lives and that they would rather have, you know, two dogs than have me with them. Because I have always discarded my Japanese identity in favor of my Malaysian Chinese identity. I felt like the country has betrayed me, and I used that pain to really put it into my my work. I heard a project was in trouble in Japan, and I volunteered to go to Japan to fix this problem because I know that I could do it. That one day I stepped into Tokyo and I just felt that this is where I need to be to really discover and explore the Japanese half of me. In less than 3 years, I created a business from $40 million to over $200 million in a country dominated by men. You know, never heard of a half Japanese, half Chinese woman being a business leader in a big US telecom world. So I couldn't be the leader I am today without going through the emotions and the pain that I went through my whole life.
If we look deeper, we will see that we all have a divine recipe.
All of us have shame about things that have happened to us. We've all gone through difficult times. We address these issues so we can quiet our minds, heal our bodies, and get closer to our heart's desires. Hector had to let go of his macho persona to make peace with the one that he loved the most, which was his father.
My father was your traditional Mexican man in the sense of working hard, wanting to get ahead, wanting to provide for his family. And as a young boy, I was looking for his love. I wanted his attention. The challenge was trying to figure out what was wrong with me, because obviously something's wrong with me if, number one, he's not giving me the attention I want as a little boy, not giving me the love, yelling at me, you know, being verbally abusive. Obviously, I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. So I carried that story from that point on for a long time. And I realized he probably wasn't going to do it the way I wanted. He probably wasn't going to tell me what I wanted when I was a little boy. Mijo, te quiero, te adoro, I love you, son. I did some personal growth work. I went inside, looked at the shame, the guilt, the pain. I went through that, I healed that, and I was able to have that forgiveness with my dad and let that go. I wasn't going to tell him I love you for him. I was going to tell him I love you for me. My dad passed on, and I'm really grateful that I listened to that inner voice that said, you know, go ahead and tell your dad that you love him. Do it for yourself.
Dr. Edie Eger is one of the most beautiful divine women on the planet today. And she survived the worst circumstances, something that most of us can't even ever imagine.
May 22nd, 1944, when I arrived in Auschwitz, there was chaos. My father was separated from us, and my sister and I facing Dr. Mengele. I didn't know who he was until later. And he pointed to my mom to go to the left and my sister and I to the right. I asked the inmate, when will I see my mother? And she pointed at the chimney, and fire was coming out of the chimney. And she said, you better talk about your mother in past tense. She's burning there. My sister and I hugged each other and said, the spirit never dies. The spirit never dies. I remember that so vividly, even today. In Auschwitz, we didn't know when we took a shower, whether water is going to come out or gas. And then there were others who ran into the barbed wires. They got electrocuted. And that night, Dr. Mengele came to the barracks and wanted to be entertained. And my friends, who knew that I was a very talented gymnast, and so they volunteered me, and I ended up dancing for Dr. Mengele. I closed my eyes, and the music was Tchaikovsky. And I was dancing in Budapest, the Romeo and Juliet. I completely dissociated. And we had choices. I chose to look at the guards, that they were more in prison than I was. I remember they took my blood about twice a week, and I asked, why are you taking my blood? And the man said, I'm taking your blood to aid the German soldiers so we can win the war. I said to myself, I was a pacifist. I was a ballerina. I bet with my blood you're never going to win the war. So I created a part in me that I was able to still be in charge of and not allowing anything what happened externally to murder my spirit. I remember I said, if I survive today, then tomorrow I'll be free.
I remember when Marita came to the shadow process and everybody was looking for the negative qualities they needed to embrace. Marita couldn't even say hers, and I kept asking, what is so horrible that you can't even say it? And she said, because of my background, mine is that I'm a Nazi.
I was born in Germany in 1955, 10 years after the war. I found out when I was 11 or 12 what my country had done. This is a subject we never talked about. My grandfather wouldn't tell me about his experience. My mother wants nothing to do with this. I'm not the only German that holds this and lives this and hides this. And I found many ways to sabotage myself from ever tasting power or success because, you know, Hitler was successful to coming to power and the power was horribly abused. I didn't interact with any Germans at all. I stayed away from them. And I did not want to interact with any Jewish person because I didn't want to cause any more pain, and I was ashamed.
Samia was willing to shine light on the darkness and willing to take back her own projections for the good of all humanity.
In 2006, when Israel bombed Lebanon, at the time I was trying to evacuate members of my family and try to bring them over to the U.S., and there were no news. You needed to figure out how to reach to them. I became so angry again because here is my family and the bombing. One day I was watching TV. I saw girls crying, little girls. I saw they were Lebanese girls. And of course, you know, every time I saw like Lebanese kids being bombed and everything, I was really, really angry. I was like, you know, yes, 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 like bomb the bastards kind of thing. And at the end, I realized they were reporting from the Israeli border on the other side of the border. And they looked exactly the same as the Lebanese girls that were killed on the other side of the border. And I saw the pain. And that day I made a commitment to myself that I will no longer tolerate that kind of cruelty, irrespective of which side of the border it's happening.
Now, I'm not saying that if you and I rise up to become the people that we are capable of being, that we will rid this planet of war in our lifetime. But I believe with all my heart, we will achieve enough this lifetime that humanity will go in that direction.
It's embracing authentically who you are. And not being ashamed of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of because everybody has a shadow. If somebody doesn't, they must be pathological.
When I'm leading the shadow process, it feels like my own journey has come full circle.
I've been very judgmental over the years. I was having some really dark dreams about you last night.
They're all true.
When we embrace our totality, we experience freedom.
My heart feels as big as my body. It's no longer like little anymore. It's like, it's me.
And embrace it with love. Love, because that's what we're here for, to give and receive love.
Can't even believe that's you, Margaret. I figured out who you were. I remember. If I hadn't faced my darkness, I never would have found my light.
Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? But actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You're playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone.
And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Consider the story of the Golden Buddha. In 1957, a monastery in Thailand was being relocated and a group of monks was put in charge of moving a giant clay Buddha. In the midst of the move, one of the monks noticed a crack in the Buddha. Concerned about damaging the idol, the monks decided to wait a day before continuing with their task. Later on, one of the monks came to check on the giant statue. He shined his flashlight over the entire Buddha, and when he reached the crack, he saw something reflected back at him. His curiosity aroused, the monk got a hammer and a chisel and began chipping away at the clay Buddha. As he knocked off piece after piece of clay, the Buddha got brighter and brighter. After hours of work, the monk looked up in amazement to see standing before him a huge, solid gold Buddha. Historians believe the Buddha had been covered with clay by Thai monks several hundred years earlier before an attack by the Burmese army. They covered the Buddha to protect it. In the attack, all the monks were killed. So it wasn't until 1957 that the great treasure was discovered. Like the Buddha, our outer shell protects us from the world. Our real treasure is hidden within. We human beings unconsciously hide our inner gold under a layer of clay. All we need to do to uncover our gold is to have the courage to chip away at our outer shell, piece by piece.
You can't fight darkness with darkness, but you can switch on the light.
All of the work we do on the shadow is to get us to this point where we can forgive. To do forgiveness, we put blindfolds on to make it safe for people to share their deepest secrets.
I forgive myself for not finishing college.
I forgive myself
for beating up my sister.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself for hating my body.
For screaming at my kids.
For not laughing enough.
Or for thinking I'm a stupid, incompetent asshole.
For stealing from my first boss.
For being a liar.
For being rich. For being beautiful.
I forgive
myself. Drinking too much.
Not speaking out.
I forgive
myself.
For not laughing
enough.
I forgive myself.
For lying.
For cheating. Binging on my diet.
I think a lot of people are very afraid of their shadow. They don't even want to consider that they have one.
Brent is one of the holiest men that I know, and he is so spiritually evolved because he uses the pain of his past to be the greatest expression of himself today.
This story really began for me when I was 9 years old, and I was attending a summer camp that was managed by an order of religious men. During that summer, I was molested by one of the religious men. I remember that experience being a beginning of a split for me, from myself. It happened a number of other times during that period of time I was at that camp. I was always afraid that that guy was going to come in the middle of the night. I even went so far as to borrow a knife from someone that I kept under the pillow. I was a 9-year-old kid. I remember I just felt like some part of me died at that time. I went on with my life holding on to that secret, holding on to that shame of not really being connected with myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
the difference between forgiving and condoning. Forgiving is seeing the true heart of another person. It's beyond all the action. In holding anybody to blame, we limit our own love. People need to know that they can get help, that they don't have to carry their shame alone, that they don't have to live in a secret, and that there are people that are holding the light for them, that are willing to see them as they are, through the shadow. It's the only way to see yourself, is to look at the light and the darkness, and to embrace it. I use that analogy of being like a drowning person, where someone's holding your head underwater, and at some point you realize that you have to be the one that fights your way back to the surface. What happened to me as a child has given me a real depth of compassion, which I'm so grateful for, because it's so clear to me when I work with people how they're suffering, how they're hiding. And it's been the greatest gift of my life that I'm in a position where I can honor people in that way. I'm just so grateful to be able to connect with people on that most vulnerable level, that deepest level of the soul. I regain my faith because I asked for it.
Forgiveness doesn't happen in your head until it happens in your heart. My mom was walking downtown Beirut with the young Israelis, and she turns to my dad, and her mother had been killed by the Israelis. She goes, "Mustafa, these are young soldiers. Don't they have a mother?" And if she can forgive, who are we? Not to forgive.
Well, you can't move on if you don't forgive. The train stops if you don't forgive. And mostly, you got to forgive yourself for taking whatever happened to you too deep, to a deep place that it shut you down.
The universe will deal with that person's karma. You don't have to worry that if you, quote-unquote, forgive them, that they're going to somehow live an undeserved, wonderful life.
Each and every one of us needs to work full-time on self-forgiveness.
Our motivation to forgive is increased when we understand why it's so important. It's not just to make their day better, it's to free you.
And forgiveness is the hallway between the past and the future.
The future expression of who we are as a planet, as our country in America, depends on the people that grow up, that become the next presidents, that become the next politicians, economists.
We want to make a difference. We want to somehow get it right, you know, to feel like we did, or at least we tried to do what we came here to do. That is the gold that is being mined today.
But that's because the world is growing. We are entering a new age. That's what's going on. That's why we're talking about this.
You are a force of love. You are made from love. And love is the most forceful energy you could ever have. Accept that energy. Accept who you are. Accept your inheritance, if you will.
You're the total being of love. And don't waste a minute of it.
I've come full circle. And this is the external of what was going on inside of me.
It's how we are able to perceive everything in life as an opportunity for growth.
I got married, I have 3 children and 5 grandchildren and 1 great grandson, and that's the best revenge to Hitler. Yes, he is. And I am here, yes.
If you want authentic peace of mind, creativity, kindness, compassion, joy, then you've got to understand your shadow and be okay with it. Celebrate.
If shadows could talk, they would tell us that we're as precious as 1,000,000 pounds of gold. that our brightest light can shine only when we've accepted our darkness, that there is wisdom in every wound, that there is a greater future waiting for us, that we are children of God and have a right to be here, that we were all created equal, that our pain is not personal, but belongs to every man and woman alive. And life is a magical journey of making peace with both our humanity and divinity. They would tell us that we deserve better, that we matter, that we are more than we ever dreamed possible, and that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that there is nobody in the world quite like you. What if you knew in every cell of your body that you were living a divine plan, a plan so important, so vital for the evolution of humankind? What if you knew that everything that was happening right now that doesn't fit your ego ideals is happening to support you in stepping out of the smallness of your darkest thought into the brilliance of your biggest dream? If you take this journey, I promise you that you're going to experience more love, more happiness than you've ever had before.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, all right, all right. Greetings, 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 everybody. Thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in to Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haru. And today, guys, I'm sorry, y'all. Thank you guys for being patient with us as we came on. But today I kind of wanted to do, you know, a little different today. That was Debbie Ford, guys. I wanted to touch base on healing today, right? So the title of this classroom today is Motivational Classroom, Cry How You Cry, Heal How You Heal, right? I want to touch on the healing, you know what I'm saying? Like, how are you healing? What's going on with your healing, right? When it comes to the topic of healing, you know, many of us, you know, may look at healing as, you know, just this grave task that we have to do. You know, it's so hard. You know, we think of shadow work and we think, you know, that it's just so dreadful. But what if, you know, when it comes to healing, what if healing, y'all? What if within our healing, what if that is the greatest jewels, the greatest gems, you know what I'm saying, or hitting within healing? Now, with that being said, when it comes to this healing, I wanted to do this particular broadcast to mainly point out that, you know, in the conscious arena of healing, you know, I feel that it has become, you know, like another program. You know what I'm saying? I think that we're turning this healing into, you know, this program thing that we do, like, you know, there's a certain type of way that you need to heal, or, you know, we heal ourselves, we may subconsciously compare ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Because we do this, y'all. We were taught, like, you know how sports, you know, we were taught to you know, be first and to win, and you know what I'm saying? So I kind of think that this healing thing is, you know, I think we kind of changed it in a pitch, you guys, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of think we need to, you know, mash the brakes a little bit and kind of examine, you know, what this healing is truly out, like, what the fuck are we really doing, you know what I'm saying? Because, y'all, it's so much, when it comes to healing, I think that it's a serious topic, and it's not a topic that we need to, you know, take for granted or take in vain, you know what I'm saying? And I think that we're playing with it, you know, a bit, and I think that we should, when it comes to that, guys, healing is, it can be so deep, I'm talking, it can be so deep as to generational, you know what I'm saying, generational healing, you know, ancestral healing, you know what I'm saying? It get, oh, the birds are going crazy, y'all. Nature, oh, my God, I love it. But, you know, how are you healing? You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to open the floor and, you know, see how you guys are doing. And also, you know, something recently happened within the last month about, you know, did a lot of you guys feel like you went into shadow work? Like, everything was great, you know, the end of 20, as we, you know, came into the conjunction and everything, you know, everything was just all up high. We was all up high energy. And then all of a sudden we plummeted. You know what I mean? We plummeted. Like, a lot of us are in shadow work right now currently. And what I'm finding is that this all means something. And in awareness this time around, I found that, you know, many of the people that I'm, you know, close to, we all went through it, like, literally the same week. Like, boom, 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 boom. It was like a domino effect. Like, I watched, like, some of my close friends, you know, like, go into that. So, to you know, just talk about it today, guys. So let's go ahead and open the floor. We got Brother Eternal in the building. I seen your video yesterday on shadow work. You know, we talked about shadow work a lot. But, you know, just pretty much, you know, how we are healing in our own way, you know what I mean? Just not to be like a conscious competition when it comes to this healing, not to adhere to anybody else's program of healing, you know. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. Cry how you cry, heal how you heal. Peace unto you, Brother Eternal.
Greetings. How you feeling today?
I am feeling, I don't know how I'm feeling in this moment, actually. I'm just here. Yeah.
That's the best way you can do it. I mean, describe your nowness to keep you in your present, you know?
Yeah.
This idea of the shadow work is, to be honest, it could be tough. Not everybody's ready to go through the experience of shadow working. Some of us rather stay in the realm of gluttony and depression and not know where it's coming from. The sad thing is, or it's not a sad thing, actually, the good thing is, out of the balance of it, it teaches us that we still want to not be depressed. And so out of that, we want to reverse ourselves, and here's what we call balance. That's where my eye kicks in the best. And showing us that once we say, okay, enough is enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you start to kick in your balance, ma'at. Now, of course, ma'at is not always a soft feeling of pleasantry. You might need some raw up in you. We call it raw energy. So the raw being how it can be, sounding like raw, it becomes reality. It becomes that point of where it's a roar energy that you're like, wow, it's so much. It's going to take me off my own feet. But then when you lie down in it so long, you're like, look, I ain't going to be lying down in it too long. And so you end up wanting to get up out of your off your feet and actually sit up in some situations. So you won't get upset as you sit up. Upset and sit up. Sit up is also like upset. But we just don't see how we're sitting up like I said. It become more than one, more than two that you have to keep doing this, or more than three that you have to keep doing this. You're saying to yourself, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to keep doing this anymore. And then you realize I've been doing this like 2, 3, 5, 9 times. So now is the point of saying, maybe I could do this without feeling like I don't have to do this anymore. Maybe if I could change the dynamic of saying how I'm going to do this differently versus saying I don't. So we constantly say the word that what we're saying, the negative of what we're going to end up doing. Then we find the hell of it. And now we can't tell of it because the tail is also the head. See, when we tell, we create this head. It'd be an ugly head, you know, a pimple on the face. Some people don't like pimples on their face. They'll pop it. They can't wait for that bump to go down. When it's actually going down, it's just not going down fast enough as you would want it to go. So you pop it. But then you pop it so much in the irritation, you want to get all of it out. So you squeeze everything out of it. Now you got this big hole in your face. You're like, oh, man, why did I do that to my face? But you want to put a Band-Aid over it because you don't want everybody to see it. So now you put a Band-Aid over your face, and then everybody starts to see it. And then they say, hey, you got a cut in your face. What happened? You cut yourself or something? You cut yourself with a razor or something? You're like, no, it's just a pimple. Oh. Dang, you put a big old band-aid for that little old pimple on your face. I'm like, dang, I made a big-ass example of my own face. This is where the whole head a-hole comes from. We got a whole A of ourselves. That's the alpha and omega for those who don't know. But we end up saying the A-O, like a whole A, not knowing that we could be an asshole to anybody. But everyone has a whole. You don't have to just be a whole ass, though. This is what shadow work really does play. Like, we don't have to be mean or negative to the next person because we probably already know what they're going through. However, sometimes we don't take the time to learn that part. So now we got to take the three turns to learn of that one person that you already knew of yourself. You just choose not to. And there's the hell and the hellacious ways that we throw it back out, but we inhaling. Exhaling as in inhaling. And now helling is hellenistic. And now that's the hell mint that we put out, not knowing what the hell we meant as hell being mint. Now it's a mint like a dollar, even though it don't make sense. Not even change can change this. So now what is to correct ourselves? That's the best thing you can do is correct ourselves, the core, and erect ourselves. So to now know what the core is when you erect yourself, you and your higher self. If not, you admired your lower self, and that's how you got caught up in yourself. So first, you have to grow in. Then you got to grow up. As you're getting ready to grow out is because you're growing through what you have to know about saying, I'm grown. I'm grown. Wait a minute, I ain't that grown yet.
That part. I never see myself as grown. I see myself as growing.
Yeah, because we're looking at what gets us to be the light. What tells us that we got this power now that maybe we're better than the next person because we got the power. But then you realize, I just recognize my power. That person look like they got more power than me. And why? Because you recognize that person know about their power more than that you knew about your power. So now it's a threat that you see somebody with that kind of power. Yeah, at the same time, isn't it a threat because you got now an awareness of power? This is why everybody don't got power right now.
I heard you speaking on power recently.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and bring in Jimmy. Jimmy, you with us. Peace and love. If you can hear me, if you can go ahead and unmute. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're here with us because, you know, we're talking about healing and we're talking about, you know, as we grow through, Eternal said some great things, you know. One thing that I wrote down from what he just said was patience with ourselves. Like, how often are we being so patient with ourselves? You know what I'm saying? I think that's yeah. One of the biggest things that we are so impatient with. We're so impatient with ourselves when it comes to this healing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, even on my level of teaching, yeah, go ahead.
That even with the patience, it's about the changing with the patience. The change and the patience go hand in hand. And then the confusion, like with my experience, then it's confusion. It's like fear-based, like, yo, what the hell is going on? Like, especially with something new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I, that's, my healing is straight to shadow work. Straight, I'm in New York. Like, my reality, yeah, all of this is like, it's fucked up, like the belly of the beast type shit. And it's, I'm like in constant confusion. I don't know how I be feeling. I just feel something, and I don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning the patience of the elephant, the patience of having the family within me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a toll on not just me, but I feel that everyone, because patient, it's like patient comes with different varieties of energy. And how we respond to it, or I respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have nothing to say because it's just patience can be a bitch sometimes. It can.
Well, if I may add, you know, I don't. You know, sometimes I don't understand what the fight is even about that we do with ourselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we beat ourselves up because we kind of, what Eternal was saying about how we admire our lower selves. So we subconsciously admire our lower selves. So we get back into hell and we create our own hell and we love that hell, you know, that we dwell in, you know, for whatever reason. And I think, and what I also noticed is that a lot of times when we have healed some shit, you know what I'm saying, we still want to subconsciously go back to that hell, you know, that we created, you know, for I want to say for no reason, but for whatever reason, it's like we continuously do that to ourselves, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
I totally do, because I do this every day, honestly. I'm a baby, so I'm taking steps with
mental.
This shit.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's mental.
It's a mental.
Emotionally
beat
and
down.
Mental.
A mental beat down. You know. And for
then,
no, I mean,
and I feel that
life.
We do that so we can still go through the fire, like, can still, like, do the shadow work, because we got hella fucking shadow work.
We do, but why do we keep putting ourselves through the fire a lot of times when, you know, like, I think it's an imbalance, because we put ourselves through the fire, we set ourselves up, we do these bad things self-inflicted on ourselves, you know what I'm saying, when we don't have to sometimes.
At all.
It's like an
and some, like, then, like with my experience with me, to actually see myself, it was still another person. Like, if you, like, look at it to, like, get out of this hellhole type shit, you gotta change something inside of you, but in order to do that, it's also outside of you.
Mm.
And
okay.
Then you come to that point, then it feels like a whole thing. You just freeze. You're frozen. Then it was supposed to be like a relationship, but now I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I still gotta grow and learn something, like, to actually still find myself, even though myself is right there, but it's way deeper than that.
Mm.
Because, you guys, how I see it, everything, I'm always looking at the bigger picture. than looking at myself, but then you can look at yourself and there's the bigger picture. So it's like living in a parallel. I'm living in a paradox.
I feel that we are on the brink of, like, a great balance, but I feel that it's like a parasite that still remain in our minds that drives us crazy.
Yes.
Bitch, it's parasites in our fucking minds that, you know, drive us crazy. Like, we got to get rid of these fucking parasites. And then, you know, they say, okay, you got to eat right. You know, you got to. You got to do these things, you know what I mean? You got to do these things in order to realign yourself, you know what I'm saying, with that divine nature and balance, I pose, right? But in doing that, I think that it's also a great process that we miss. You know, there's a lot of teachers that teach on what we need to do, but I don't feel that there is enough examples from our elders and from our seniors, you know what I'm saying, about the process they have to go through to get there. That's my issue. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, okay, wait a minute, y'all. I'm living this process. Like, I'm living this process of being combative, you know, of being, you know, all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, did y'all not go through this? Y'all, you know, like, y'all went from 3 to 7, like, just like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, what about the in-between? Like, why aren't we talking about, you know, the things that happen, you know, to get us there, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of, I'm finding that that's not discussed because those are the embarrassing parts. Those are the secrets. Those are the parts that, you know, you don't want, it's exactly what the fuck it is, you know, and not to bash, you know what I'm saying? It's just that, like, how are you truly going to teach, or how are you truly going to be an example, you know, for us, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, to us? I love how Eternal does it. You know what I'm saying? I love and I appreciate Eternal, and I love how he does it. But, you know, it's like, you know, I only see Eternal on weekends or, you know, briefly throughout the week and stuff like that. But it's like in our very own backyard. In our very own families, you know what I'm saying? We don't have that many of positive examples, you know what I'm saying? Like you love me, you know what I'm saying? And you love, you know, how I, you know, am a positive example in your life. And that's great, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, how often do we not have enough of that for our youth? You know, and for, and not just for our youth, but for each other. You know what I'm saying? We want to bash people. We want to bash people in the name of healing. You know what I'm saying? We want to hone in on people.
Can I say this? This was so crazy.
Go ahead, and then Eternal. Go ahead.
It was. What happened?
No, I was saying, go ahead and finish your statement, and Eternal wants to add something.
Okay. So it was like me. It was like, you know, you find that connection with someone, then it's like, oh my gosh. Then with me, I was like, I felt something and I was just bashing this person, and it didn't have nothing to do with them. I was just projecting that shit on them because of what I feared.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I had to sit back and self-reflect, like, yo, this is really me. I'm a fucking monster. I'm dark and ugly. I am. I might be beautiful on the outside, but I'm dark and fucking ugly, and I had to accept
that.
But
is that
like
a bad thing?
My own shadow, my biggest
thing?
Shadow, where I'm able to be free and be who I am, don't want nothing to do with me no more.
It's dark and ugly. Is dark and ugly a bad thing? You know what I'm saying? I think that right there, the clip that was played, Debbie Ford, if you guys want to go to YouTube, it's called Debbie Ford, The Shadow Effect, right? Debbie Ford, The Shadow Effect. And, you know, she was talking about how the scenario of the lady was interacting with her, you know, saying, like, we call it cost-benefit analysis in psychiatry. Psychology, right? Cost-benefit analysis is a method. Like, what is the benefit that you get out of the bad, right? It's like, it's really alchemy. So she was like, you know, there has to be something good about you being a bitch that you keep being a bitch. So there has to be something good, you know what I'm saying, in your monster or in your bad, you know, that you keep going back to it. You know what I'm saying? So that's beautiful that you saw that, you know, that was you projecting your fear, right? You honestly stated that that was you projecting your fear, and you realized it. Now, with that, a lot of people, what we do is we hold that in. We don't be honest about that. We hold that in. You know what I mean? So it becomes detrimental to your very own health. To our very own health. Because let me not speak external shit, because I find myself doing it as well. You know, I'm not immune. You know what I mean? I haven't figured this shit out. Yeah. Please know. So eternal, go ahead. You wanted to add.
Yeah, so to look at your negative is what we supposed to all face. There's going to be certain things, like when I took the ayahuasca, not to go in detail yet, it was to a point where I had to face my lies. How much was I being not truthful to even who I say I am, that the shadow of myself was not approved of what I was doing on this physical realm. And so it cleaned me up. It had me do a spiritual purge. I threw up. I let go of the energy that was so negative that held me back for so long. Now, things to this is when you're in a certain realm and your certain dimension starts to kick in, you no longer do these certain things. Like, say, for instance, I just talked to a bunch of sisters about how we shouldn't be smoking cannabis in a fontal leaf or in a tobacco leaf, because it's got nicotine in it, which it's got ammonia in it. Now, my body was already kicking in to say, don't smoke this for some reason. And I was like, I don't know why I keep not wanting to smoke this, but I like smoking. So it's like, here I am putting it into that stuff and only causing my body to say, look, we done talked to you already. So now my body kicking in different ways of saying, okay, you want to act like that? I'm going to show you how you don't like a lot of stuff. And then that also kicked in. Like, I can't smoke loud. I can only smoke Reggie. I can't smoke loud. So it's like, as soon as the person say, hey, you want to smoke? And I was like, all right, cool. Now, as soon as I hit it, I'm like, oh, I already know. My body's telling you, that ain't you. That's the other one that wants to be you. And they can't fit in this realm. So now your body is going to tell you are doing limitations in this realm, because you're still not listening. And so now there's either benefits behind it or non-benefits behind it. Now, the other thing about the defects, we as a people, we just got to a point that we defected ourselves so much that even the ancestors don't approve of our defection. So now there's a point where you're going to either train yourself to go past the defection and come to the point of how you heal yourself, or you're going to stay as a defect for the rest of your life, and you feel like you made a mission, but guess what? Coming back with more of a defect. And that's the ancestral push that we done seen ourselves, and we say calling it hell to each other. See, it might not have been a defect.
Come right here with that. Because, can I just add this? So, basically, what you just said, I feel that the person that I had connected with was an ancestor. I felt that shit, and I, like, you know, like, we gotta, like, free out, you know, like, our ancestors have laid down and stuff. Now you gotta stand up for your ancestors and shit. So basically, like, with me, I had a sleep with my ancestor, and I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this.
But this is what wakes you up. This is what wakes you up. This is the legba. This is what the issue and the issue is about. When we say it's issue, you also say issue. So not knowing it's a trick, but it's also a crossway to your choices. See, there was an older one and a younger one in the vibration, which we bring in our batala. How do we see our inner child? Is it at its utmost to do the right things, or does it see the defects that still goes on in itself and not pay attention to even as a child? Would a child still be doing this thing? Or when a child says, you know what, I'm growing into myself, so I'm going to grow up from this and no longer do the defects. I too have done the same, touching my ancestors, but my ancestors being a real living physical family related energy when someone did that to me. So this is what Ogun shows us, how to now not only be negative diligent, but now reality hits in where you are positive discipline and disciple yourself as a Chusi. As a Chusi would do, as the brave warrior will hold on to that light even in darkness, and said it will take out their own mother if they're doing the wrong thing. This is why we call ourselves to do these certain things. This is why we say we wanted to experience the best of what we could do for ourselves. Not only ourselves, what we could do within our family. Because you have a family. Now, how do you root with your family? Because you know you're the root doctor, right? Everybody that's up here listening, everybody that's listening to how I'm talking, everybody who's even into the same communication as I am, you're all root doctors. You just haven't decided to become one yet fully. And so there's these choices again that we say, oh, I got a choice to do it. I don't know if I'm ready yet. I might come back next season or next year, or next 5 years.
Or next lifetime shit.
But no. I feel I'm ready. But a part of me is like, okay, I feel that I have to be very careful with this. You know what I'm saying? Because I can be very not careful. You know? So I don't know what that is, but I feel I'm
and
ready to just do me.
At the same time.
Well, this call
and that's the thing. So I feel that we just go full head with all that bullshit, get through it, and just so we can just fucking rest. That's been my motto. And I'm only 24. I don't give a fuck about this shit no more. I'm just go through it and heal myself through this.
And so in Key Swahili, they tell you to scratch yourself. Key Swahili to tell you to scratch yourself. You might not know how. So we call it Kupagani Ngumi, meaning I'm a warrior, a brave warrior. I just might not have all the skill to become the warrior you think I am. So now it's the whole idea that our reality is we will fight the good fight. It might not be what you think is the best, but it's the best that we have for right now. So in this contest of yourself, it's just best to heal. You know what hell is. Now you know what hell is. Add an A, which is the alpha, to how you heal yourself. But not as alpha as in just alpha. Alpha into the omega self, as in the beta self. See, we got alpha, but we got alpha beta people too. We can't just be alpha the whole time. That's not going to work. We got to know how to change law to the word laws. See, if it's working in one way to rule yourself, how do you rule yourself in another way? If you say, oh, I'm going to stand on the land, can you stand on water? And if you could, how would you do that? These are the ways that you start to create rules for yourself. That's how you become diligent, as what we call the discipline to yourself. This is why Ogun became Ogun and not just a gun to yourself. So you can protect everyone just as much as you protect your own self. You just got to know how to use your powers. Once you know your powers and strength, you don't have to kill. You can heal.
And see, if I'm
glad you
said
that.
I'm glad you said that too, because with a lot of us want to just kill. You know what I'm saying? We rather kill. We rather destroy. We rather, you know, do it. You know
kill,
what I'm saying?
Kill,
I don't. But I mean, just honestly saying, you know what I'm saying? That's like the first default, you know, that comes in your mind. You know, fuck that up, or fuck this up, or destroy this. You know what I mean? But really, truly, to stick with the healing, you know, to stick with it. In Maya energy, you know what I'm saying? I think that's very important right now. That's very important. 44 keeps coming up too, in my arena. 44 is like strong right now, and it's strong in its reverse aspect, actually. You know, because when it comes to numbers, what I am learning is that there is a positive and a negative. You know, even with the numbers, you know what I'm saying. So it's always great to know and go delve into the flip mode of it. Eternal, I wanted to ask you a question. When it comes to the ancestor, the ancestral energy, you know, when you stated that they sometimes they don't approve, but in tune, you are the living ancestor. How does that work? You know, do the ancestors, do they, I don't feel that they judge you like the human shit, morality shit that we do. Or what does that protocol look like when it comes to the ancestors? Jimmy just mentioned, you know, about, you know, the sexual energy, you know what I'm saying? When he knew it was an ancestor and the morality of it may not agree, but, you know, just what do you, I think I said two different things, but ancestral judgment, do the ancestors judge you? How does that work?
Two different energies, that's the same, though.
Yeah, this is what I was saying earlier about the defect. We're not a part of the energies. We're part of the defects that's within the energy. And so now we see how the effect of energy is. You know, we're effective when we see the defect of the energy. So when you see the defect of energy, what are you going to do? You're going to want to correct it. And so that's what Ma'at does. Ma'at shows us in our own little... Like as a bird would, a bird can't really see where it's going. But with its perception in life and how the heart and how the other senses kick in, that bird can sense where that bird is going. It's just like when you feel like you're getting lost, you start to keep going, but then all of a sudden this kicking of your knowing, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't know none of this. The landmarks don't look right. Even the GPS don't look right. I think I'm lost. So you're going to stop. You're going to stop immediately. You might even turn the music down first because your senses are starting to kick in. So it's the point of how you hear it, taste it, touch it, feel it. And once you know that, that's the ancestors talking to you. The planets are all around us just as much as all inside of us. So now your ear feels it. Your hearing starts to kick in about how your ear feels it. And once your ear feel it, it starts to let everything else feel things too. So feeling is one of those major senses to how we feel like we don't feel anything. Like how I just said it, how we feel like we don't feel anything. When you say, I don't feel like doing it, you're connecting to the hell or the heavens. Now it's up to you as judging. You judge. Nobody else is doing no judging. There's only self-judging. So now self can have a better judgment by not judging, but yet study first before a judgment of what order comes out of self. Because, you know, this judgment is not really judging. It's really an order for each other. And when you order off of each other, you have chaos also in order, right? So order could be even what chaos is. We could say there's a lot of chaos going on in here, but that's also saying the defect going on. So now we're saying, oh, we need a lot of order in here in a different way. And the oppositional being will see that, you know, and then say, you know what, they might be right. I need to, you know, chill out. There's a lot of chaos going on in here. And so we see ourselves as what Obasala did. When he drank, he created babies, right, and humans, and he was doing this. And then Eshu saw this, and he was like, Yo, you doing a great job. Congratulations. And we need to celebrate. You know, celebrate how? You know, drink. And see, in our Kemetic time, we don't usually drink anyway. So now it's how to go from drinking to toasting. And toasting is saying cheers and, you know, basically celebrating. What do we need to celebrate for? We all are in the celebration of ourselves. So it's a constant celebration. Every day is a celebration. But this way, it became a neglect. And so what he did was he said, hey, drink this alcohol. So he drank the alcohol. And he's like, you know, I don't usually drink alcohol. He said, actually, I don't drink alcohol at all. He's like, well, just this one time. He's like, well, you know, I got some work to do. He's like, no, man, you good, man. Just do it this one time. So he went in, all right, just for you. We'll go ahead and drink. So he started drinking. Now, the main thing is don't be doing stuff just for somebody else. This is another thing in the moral. So anyway, he drinks it. And, he starts to feel a little different. He's like, man, I got to get back to work because, you know, I got some things I still need to be doing. So he goes off to work, go back in and start making people
the next thing you know, he starts seeing defects happening. He starts seeing one with one leg and one with one arm and one got one eye and one can't think. And then he starts realizing, oh, my gosh, I done drink so much, I done got intoxicated. And going back to still doing what I usually do, I can't because now I'm making intoxicated people. And I'm doing this like as if I'm doing it on purpose when my intent wasn't that. But this is the moral behind it. We have to be mindful that when you touch something, you also are giving off the same energy that is that you didn't realize you're giving to the being.
Yo.
So our intent, even with touch, is you can bring gold in just as much as you can destroy it. See, how you feeling, sir? Great, great.
And who this ancestor is again?
Obatala.
Oh, my God. I'm running into all of them. This is the bullshit.
They're body parts. So they explain how your body parts all have a different way of talking, a different tonation, a different way of thinking. And once you know how to use it and apply it to everything, whether it be on Saturday, on Friday, or Monday, you start to see how you celebrate every day. You don't celebrate one day. You don't make one day better than the next day. You make all the days just as great as the first day, as the last day. Respect, bro.
You just gave me an eye opener, bro. So this is like, yeah. This is deep healing for me right here. Yeah. I fucked up big time.
I'm like,
okay, I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on. Are y'all trying to say something to me? Hold on, y'all. I'm sorry. Hello? Oh, shit. Y'all still there? Y'all still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Can y'all, I don't know where y'all left off, y'all, because I'm getting my carpet cleaned, so I'm sorry. let me see. I don't know. I didn't hear the last part of anything that y'all was saying. But, saying last.
I was just saying that this is deep healing for me. Like, listen to one another anyway, because I feel like I always felt that in order to heal, we need to hear each other out and stuff like that. And that's like healing and stuff. Because everything that's being said is like literally what I'm witnessing and experiencing, like with our ancestors.
Okay. Okay. All right. So,
this is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, but, you know, in the aspect of healing, you know what I'm saying? I just think that it's very beautiful to, you know, have a balanced understanding. A balanced understanding, you know what I'm saying? Of what it is and what it's not, you know. So basically, you know, to sum that up, you know, do your ancestors judge you, you know, to the listening audience, you know, it's pretty much you judging you. But I also want to talk about, you know, as far as the process to get to the understanding of it's you versus you and it's you judging you. You know what I'm saying? So never allow note to self, you know, never allow anyone, you know, to imprint on your mind, you know, that you're not good enough or, you know what I'm saying? Because when it comes to this healing, there's a lot of mind fuck and mind play and programs and reaction. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, and that's not to bash them because I understand that we all are healing on these levels. But, you know, it's like, okay, wait a minute, y'all. What are we doing? Like, is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Like, hold on, y'all. You know what I mean? Because if we're really going to do it, why not do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get out of right or wrong,
But, you know, it's like, okay, if we continue to do it and rehash it just like religion, if we continue to, you know, put religion on spirituality in a subconscious mindset, you know, what the fuck are we really doing? Are we really healing, y'all? You know what I'm saying? Or is this another cult?
What I want without my hand, like, in the, oh my gosh, with these gates out here being open and shit, I'm opening them, yeah. All that they've been teaching me is just love. It doesn't matter about you, none of this shit. Whatever makes you happy is makes you happy. But do it out of love.
Do it out of love, but in that love, you know what I'm saying, there's like the valley, you know what I'm saying? In that love, it's like the, like when it comes to love, I see the valley, you know what I'm saying? Love is just not this straight shit that we, you know, all this, you know, pussy and glamour and, you know, all this glitz and glamour and shit and all, you know, no, it's the fucking valley, you know, it's the highs and the lows. You know what I'm saying? You got to climb the fucking mountain. You got to do all of that in order to get,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, to that.
Yo, so, it's just, you know, like hiking.
It's everything.
It's like hiking and camping type shit, literally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then,
so
also, I want to say this, that, like, even with the ancestors, like, teaching me, they're teaching me that there's kindness for evil and evil and kindness.
Yeah, some of our ancestors were very evil, all right? You know what I'm saying? But even in that, I think that they may look onto our energy now, you know what I'm saying, you know, in order to help that energy or to balance them. Again, guys, this is a classroom, okay? So we attempted to put it together and piece it together, you know, out loud.
This,
you know,
is college on
more
earth,
definitely.
Y'all. College
you
on
know,
earth.
Come on, y'all. College on earth on a radio platform. You know what I'm saying, y'all? We learning, growing together. We healing together. That's what it's about, being vulnerable together,
yeah,
without the self-judgment, without the self-criticizing, without the pointing their finger, you know, all of that stuff. How
exactly
else are we going to heal effectively? Hear me, effectively. How are we going to heal effectively? For real.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Have we asked ourselves that?
I ask myself that all the time, and I'll be like, yo, how, when, you know?
To be vulnerable. You know what? What I'm finding is to be vulnerable. I'm like, you know, fuck. You know what I'm saying? You know how we want
to
be in high shots, you know?
Even with me, like,
to be vulnerable.
I'm always giving love. I'm learning to receive love.
Ooh.
Because I locked my heart up for so long because I'm damaged as fuck. I ain't even going to lie. I'm damaged without being damaged.
Yeah.
And I bottled that up, not even saying none of this shit, because I just kept it in. I don't even care no more. Because I'm fucked up. I'm not perfect. My imperfections make me perfect. It is like it's all of that. It's a big ass paradox, and we just gotta go through it through the fire, literally through the fire.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So, Eternal, did you want to add anything before I mention this next?
Can somebody cry, yo?
No, it's just the sign, you know. How much are we in tune with our conscience in the media? In the unconscious, are we in the same way? You know what I mean? Like, you're attacked by three mental things, right? I do three mental things. It's mental, physical, and spiritual. So three times your 8 hours of that time, you only got 24 hours. So what you do in your 24 hours, you're going to be stuck in 24 hours of doing constantly. So now if you split it to 24 and a half, you got 12 hours of one side this, one side that. So now what is a night? It's not the same as day. At night, you more sexual. You more feel like doing some stuff. The daytime, you more active. You got to go do this, got to go do that. Now you could say, oh, during the day, I'm more sexual. Is it? Because in your reality, as it starts to kick in the other realities, you have all these interruptions. And then you say, dang, we ain't got time to have this, what we call sex. So now I need to go ahead and get out of that. Get out of that mode, going back to what I do. And now before night comes in, you're probably now feeling that tendency because now you got more time. Did you ever notice that even when it's day and night and this concept, when the shadow is over our heads, we start to feel like we could see better and far out there. And then, yet, some of us say, man, I'm more scared. I'd be in the house. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be out in the dark. So there's a mentality of our shadow we scared to work with. We got people that work night shifts, people work day shifts. The people that work at night shifts, they be so relaxed and happy and everything because they don't have to deal with so many of us that's walking around. I'm like, dang, I didn't even notice that was that like that. But these are our realities that we kick out. And so knowing what night is not just N-I-G-H-T, it's K-N-I-G-H-T. So now how noble are you during these things of your own hours? And I'm not talking about H-O-U-R-S, your own O-U-R-S. See, once you take responsibility, you don't have to say you're not in an exception. You're also connecting with your A as an exception. Because, see, AC is a part of alternate current. We don't have to be DC and destructive current. See, we already know about direct current. That's how it became destructive. And in time for us to learn these things, we already see that reverse engineering works best. And since we don't have reverse engineering at us at all times, we start to think the direct energy is the current energy, AC-DC. But we now know that AD been DA since we've been AD with an I. They put aids in our thoughts. So now how do we see a cool aid in thoughts? But that's what AD is when you say duh, DA to DU and an H. So when we're saying these duh, you don't know what you're talking about. Is it the day that you still don't know about? This is why we don't have our feet on the ground like we should. This is why we're really avatars that can airbend when we haven't done that yet. We think that we're in a material world, that the material is more better than the world we're in. When now you're artificially thinking this way, or are you in an advanced intelligence? Intelligence works more advanced than you actually can think. This is why we call it think and not thought. See, where think means I still am in my constant. But if you said thought, that means it's past tense. So now I thought you said blah, say blah, say blah. Now you feel like you don't know the truth because now you're in the past. This is what a pastor does, give you a pass. But now I'm going to give you a pass for being stuck in the past. And now you feel like you're saved with an ED. You're not saved, like you're safe with a S-A-F-E. You're saved, like someone catched you and caught you in the net. Now you a fish being fried on Friday because you're thinking that you probably need to go to church when you really are holy of yourself already. But you put a hole like a net on your leg, calling it a legend. Now it's fish net. This is your leg in. This is why we're legend Aries. It's not just a leg and the end of Aries. It's a legend Aries. Bring your head as your heart, as your hips back to the fire that you're supposed to be. Use that fire as it's supposed to be. Flare your energy, F with an air, and know your layer of energy. If not, it's the glare. How you been looking with this glare and not knowing the stair, being the stairs from stairway? We're in the Libra moon cycle today. We done got out of Virgo. That's your gut instincts. And now we're going into how you go back up your ladders, Jacob. And Jacob as being Jack with Coog and Jake with Cub.
What?
Beautiful. On that note, y'all, I think this is a beautiful moment to end. I do want to tell the audience and to you all that are listening, study your shadow self. You know, and study your shadow self in less judgment. You know what I'm saying? And, again, I don't want to tell you guys what to do, but just as an example, in studying my shadow self, you know, I'm starting to see shit. Like, wow, you know, like my own behaviors and why I do certain things, you know, the things that many didn't like, or, you know, that I didn't like, that me judging me, you know, like, why am I judging myself so harshly in this area? You know, what is this? What is the root of this and that? And, you know, how did I get here? And, you know what I'm saying? So I said that to say that there is definitely beauty in the shadow. You know, I will always, for years, I used to always say, you know, to myself, find the beauty in the chaos, find the beauty in the chaos, find the beauty in the chaos. You know what I'm saying? There's always beauty in the chaos when you have the eyes to see, you know. And I placed in, for you guys, I placed in the show notes a The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you guys know the real depth and meaning. I know you probably do, Eternal, but I'm going to send it to you, Jimmy, as well, privately, but it's in the show notes, right? The Wizard of Oz breakdown, once you study the metaphysics of the Wizard of Oz breakdown, it will have a dormant spark on you internally. You'll thank me later. You will thank me later. People
you
like,
know
what I'm doing. You will thank me. When I tell you this, hold on, y'all. This lecture is 7 hours. The last lecture that I listened to was 6 hours, was from Bobby Hammond. Bobby Hammond did a lecture, What If God Was the Devil? You know what I'm saying? And that, what if Jesus was really the devil, right? And everything was in reverse. I listened to that in like 2010, and it changed. It was the 6 hours that changed my whole fucking life, why I'm here today. Shout out to Bobby Hammond. You know what I'm saying? But it's another lecture from Panic, which Bobby fashions so greatly, so deeply. But 7 hours of the metaphysical breakdown of the Wizard of Oz. Occult Lectures, www.occultlectures.com. Brother Panic, shout out to Brother Panic, shout out to Ms. Blue, shout out to C. Freeman L. Shout out everybody that stood before us who had courage, the courage to speak up. Thank you. Thank you, Eternal. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because you guys set a positive example in my eye, or however you did, or whatever you did. You know, a lot of people judge y'all sometimes when they find out y'all dark side, you know. However, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, I always like to see the good and the examples and positivity that you guys left behind. You know what I'm saying? Because it definitely did something for me. And I took all of the information and all of its avenues, you know what I'm saying? And that's what brought me here today to hear, you know what I'm saying, Enhancing Awareness Radio, which I feel is a platform that is for generations to come. You know what I'm saying? I do this for the unborn, not for the people that are here. I do this for the unborn. That's what keeps me going here. You know what I'm saying? It's not about money. It's not about none of that. It's about the unborn who will hear this later. All right, y'all, so that's my wrap-up. Jimmy, you want to go ahead and wrap up with anything you want to leave with the people or anything of that sort?
I just want to say that I'm honored today and grateful for speaking with y'all and speaking through our ancestors, by even with all of us, because this is the big picture right here, basically.
Yeah.
To really ascend to where we need to be, and I just hope and wish that this, in this moment of time, or just this moment, it just lasts forever. With this feeling, this feeling, I wanted to vibrate to the cosmos and let everyone feel that.
because that's what I'm feeling right now. I feel joy, feel like crying out of joy. Just, this is beauty.
I would love for you to join us. I would love for you to join us more often. I know that you don't. I know that you don't mind joining us. I just have to let you know. So I have to remember to let you know when we're on.
Oh yeah.
Because this is
just
this is good now
because I've been doing like hella shadow work, y'all.
I know, and honey, you need balance. You know what I'm saying? This is good balance for you. So I'm glad. I'm glad to have you on. You know, Auntie LJ, she's coming through. You know, her own too. So. Shout out to Auntie LJ. We love you, Auntie LJ. She's with her family and stuff. She's okay. She's just, you know, doing her thing and with family and stuff. She's balancing herself out in her own way. So we love you, Auntie. Shout out to Auntie LJ. So, yeah, guys, join us tomorrow, Spiritual Soul Sunday. I don't know what we're talking about tomorrow, but it's going to be definitely a great topic. I think tomorrow is about. Go ahead.
Also, just want to say the last thing that not just me, but every one of us and whoever listening have the courage and the patience of the elephant.
Because
that's one of my totems that I'm wearing in my ear right now. Just the patience, because that's where the power comes in.
Okay, the elephant. Go back and listen to the broadcast that we did on animal totems, guys. If you want to know, like, your animal totem, go on our archives, and I posted in the show notes a link so you could, you know, see what the possibility of the animal totem that you resonate with. Just don't allow a quiz to tell you guys, but you have to intuitively feel for yourself, you know what I'm saying, that you are in connection to the animal. And then here's how you'll know. Mine was a turtle, right? When I tell you, like, I would be on the water just meditating, turtles would just start popping up. when I told you to be
Central Park, what?
Remember that?
I definitely got to
remember Central
Park for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've been doing. I forgot to do. I got to go, because I'm wearing the turtle bracelet right now with a key on it. So, that's what I'm going to do for all of us. Go back to Central Park, because that's like,
So, you know, whatever energy of the animals that resonate with you guys, pay attention to nature right now, because it's going to be vital and very important. Yeah, that's it. All right, well, I'm done. Is that it? Jimmy, we're going to go ahead and let you try to close us out. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Anytime. I'm like I said, I'm honored. I can't even say humbled, but I'm just honored. Like, and not just peace and love, but integrity, compassion, and sovereignty.
Yes. We have to do this for one another, you guys. You see that? He's been having a rough time. You know, you guys, he's been having a rough time, you know, dealing with his own internal, you know what I'm saying? He's like young. He's only like 21, right? You'll be 22 soon. Or shit, isn't your birthday?
Yeah, three more days.
Okay.
Monday, I'm turning 22.
Monday, he's turning 22, the big 22, y'all. So, you know, send him some encouragement, send him some love vibrationally, you know, as he grows through what he's growing through. And he's in New York City, y'all. Y'all know on the hard streets of New York City on his own. Shit. Jimmy, are you on your own?
I'm the king of the streets, yo.
Man.
Dude, that's all I've been seeing. Like, the symbology out here is heavy for me. Like, I thought it was going to be the death of me. It's going to be the death of the old me, though.
It's so there it is, you know. Those many of you, that's why you guys have to watch the Wizard. You'll have to listen to the Wizard of Oz breakdown, because it goes into the many different versions of you. You know what I'm saying? Like all of it was Dorothy, right? All of it was Dorothy. The East was a part of her. The West was a part of her. All of it was her. You know, when she killed the wicked queen, you know, she killed a version of her that needed to die. She didn't want to kill it, but when she killed it, it was like a sigh of relief to the universe, like, oh, okay, now we can grow. You know what I'm saying? So we have to begin to start to kill parts of ourselves, seriously, literally, you know what I'm saying? You know, that so we won't get stagnant, so we won't have to keep reincarnating. And I'm not saying that, you know, to escape, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of us don't want to be here on earth, you know, because we want to escape, you know what I'm saying? And it's not about the escape. It's about what did you learn? Why are you here? You know what I'm saying? Because if you just want to escape, 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 you're going to keep coming back and back and back. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, wait,
exactly.
What is your purpose, really? You know,
why you said that, I literally, like, if you watch the Guardians of the Galaxy, definitely like the second movie with the planet Ego, that's literally what my ancestors have told me, yo, you got to get here. Like, I got two more lifetimes anyway, so to have that, because
make the
is
best.
My number right there.
See? Make the best of that. You know what I'm saying? So,
I don't even
let's
have
stop trying
regret.
To escape.
I
know
I love
yourself.
It wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it for the planet. No, because
yes.
For real, like, I've been like,
in the process.
That's why the Bible was the Bible. It's for one own personal journey for you and your ancestors on some real shit.
You know, I
and
had a wild thought. I had a
and
wild thought,
like,
you know, like,
how I see it, I'm a big-ass sacrifice right now because I have that cosmic energy. Like, when I be walking, everyone just stares at me. I don't like, this symbology is
something about
I didn't sell my soul. I don't even have a soul because I have cosmic energy.
Okay. All right. Well, as we grow through what we grow through, you know what I'm saying, we begin to see what it is for us. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is for you, that's the uniqueness of it, and that's the beauty of it, whatever it is for you. That was my first time hearing about you not having a soul, but you have cosmic energy. You know what I'm saying? So not to like say, wait a minute, what you mean you don't have a soul? No. I need to understand what you mean. Not on this show, but, you know, it's like I want to know more. That, I know, but I want to know more, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to discredit my brother, you know what I'm saying, for what he feels it is for him. I want to learn more from my brother. Like, okay, brother, that may be unique for you. So let me try to understand you more, you know what I'm saying, instead of going off of the program that everybody got the soul. You know what I'm saying? So I think in those type of examples, you know what I'm saying, we can start to build for real, y'all.
Yes,
I love
build.
You, thank
like,
you.
Come into that. That's
we'll get to it. It's going to happen. I mean, we got legions on our side, you know what I'm saying, who, you know, us together, we all will manifest this, and rapidly. All right.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Take us out.
Yeah, we have a connection of how our family orientated as we think 20 hours, in 20 hours I make $200. But if you was to think, let's say, oh, the $200 because of the 20 hours was because I worked $10 an hour. And then, of course, there's the opposition of saying, you know what, I can make 10 pieces and that could be $200. Instead of working 20 hours, I could do this for two hours and make it same $200. When you look at your time, you are of past and in the present. So when you make it a present, you make it also a gift. But if you can't lift it, then the gift isn't to you. This is why the shadow work works best. Because it shows you how is your spiritual, your mental, and your physical in an exception of who you and how you are. See, when we have truth, truth comes out, not just a blinding light, but the light that also comes out of darkness. You a night. So that's BK being British Knight. So it's BK being Knight. But it's just being back with a B, not with a K. But you know what B and K mean when you use B and K. So that's why this black is another connection to B and K. We could call it British Knight, but you already know what a B can be if it becomes a K. Noble. We're as noble as the line could be from an angle that goes back into the K sound that the K sound actually shows when you use it as a C. See, this is why we look at letters and how we letter a C ourselves back out as you letter a C being illiterate if you can't see. This is what we use as chemistry and chemic, as you can hear yourself chemically. We can use it in anything from the dumb to the now numb in our mind and now numb by anything that we put out by our brain being numbers. Because in numbers, you see sequence. And as sequence, you see numbers, not just history. That's why it's created to be a mystery. You're thinking it as mine, your story, when it's still a mystery. A mystery. See, I had a sister that said, man, I got 30 minutes to do something. Man, I'm ready to go. I've got 30 minutes because I'm doing nothing. I said, you know what? Come over here and do some copper. Next thing you know, she said, it's 5 minutes after. Can you finish this for me? Because I got to go. I'm like, wow. But this is for you. So never be running so fast when you can get in what you can, as much as you can. That's why it's called memory. That's why it's called knowledge. You got to be in tune with it. It's your truth. So as you're a lion, you're a heart. As you're a heart, you're a temple. And as every temple, there's a heart coming back out. Of course, it's spiritual. So how do we connect? We restart our seven. Bring it back to our heart, and then bring it into our head. So now that's heaven. Instead of just losing ourselves, we put ourselves back together. This is why Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Know your law. Asheo.
Thank you. now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. It was my